We're in the Epistle of Ephesians, chapter 4, and I'd like you to open there today. We're going to look at a portion of verse 15 today in our ongoing study of this chapter, where Paul is talking about our walk, our Christian life, and how it is, and what is the purpose of our life as Christians and also as pertaining to the church. And having talked about the purpose of maturing in Christ, in verse 15 and 16, Paul says, "Now we are to speak the truth in love, and to grow up in all things into Him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ." And then he goes on and describes a growing body in verse 16, and ends edifying itself in love. We'll look at that verse next time. But today I just wanted to briefly look at this phrase that Paul uses here. It says, speaking the truth in love. We just sang a wonderful song by Fanny Crosby, "I Love to Tell the Story." That is what the church is all about. That's what we are here for. To love the Lord so much and for our life to be so totally transformed by the gospel, that we could proclaim the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ to other people. And Paul is very interested and Paul is very dedicated to make sure that we do it in the right way. Because the gospel can be presented and truth can be presented in a way that is not in love and that does not bring glory or honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in this whole chapter, has been talking to us about the purpose of the church. And he gives us some basic goals to consider about what the church is all about. Earlier in this chapter, we spent several Sundays talking about the unity of the church. The fact that unity is the number one, the chief characteristic of the church. And by seeing our unity, the church or the world around us will see that we are truly united, and we serve one Lord. Now, the church is made up of many different people, many different individuals of many different cultures and backgrounds. There's Jews and Gentiles as a basic division in the church, especially at the time that Paul was writing. There were rich people and poor people, free people and slaves. There were males and females. But despite the fact that we all come from different backgrounds and have different characters and qualities in us, our unity is supposed to be demonstrated and visible to the world around us. And in verse 3, Paul says we have to make every effort. We have to try. We have to work at this. This is not something that comes naturally. Satan, remember, he's our enemy. He wants to cause division among us, to magnify the differences that are among us. And in the church in Corinth, we see how some of those differences caused division in the church. Paul says, for us to work at this, "I beseech you," Paul says, "I beg you," in verse 1, "as the prisoner of Jesus Christ, that you would walk worthy in a united way." But then secondly, Paul goes on and he talks about this Christian unity that we have. It needs to be demonstrated in our maturity. The goal of the church, the goal of all of us as Christians, is to grow up so that we are no longer children, or so that we no longer act and behave and have the character of children. And last time we looked at, Paul summarizes this whole thought. He says, so that we could attain, or that we could come into the whole or the complete or into the total measure being how God looks at us and measures us, so that we would be completely measurable by the fullness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ being the ultimate example, being what it is that we are trying to be like, or who we are trying to be like. So our goal in the church and our goal as individuals in the church is to be like Jesus, or as Paul says, to be Christ-like. And that translates in verse 1 in how we walk. When God first created Adam and Eve, remember, God created them in His own image. What does that mean? That means that Adam and Eve at that particular time in their existence before that they had sinned, they were like God. They were like God in the sense that spiritually they had fellowship with God. Every day God would come and visit with them and they would have church. And of course, Satan came and he says, you know, right now you're like God. You know good. You can also know evil. And then you will be like God. You see, Satan presented to them a half truth. It was half lie, half truth. He says, you will be like God. Well, in a way, they would be. Although God does not practice evil or sin, he's only full of goodness. And the sad reality is that Adam and Eve, they did not become at all like God. In fact, they lost what little they had of God in their life. And sometimes we even use the expression and we say that he has lost the image of God in his life. When you look at a person sometimes that is down and out and you say this person is so messed up, is so mixed up, he is so far from God. He says there's nothing visible in this person that would reflect the fact that he is God's creation. And instead of reflecting the goodness of God, humanity now simply reflects Satan, who is the father of lies and evil and divisions and causes our separation from God. And so Adam and Eve lost their God-likeness, their Christ-likeness. And you see, the goal of the church and the goal of Christians is for us to grow and to mature and to gradually, through the process that we call sanctification, God transforms our life day by day as we look into his word so that we become more and more and more Christ-like. And in the day that we come into his presence, 1 John chapter 3 tells us we will actually be once again like Christ or like God. We will once again have that image of God that will have full spiritual fellowship with God. Now, in this process in our life, we can actually measure how we are growing. I've been teaching my grandson to measure himself. So he comes over and he goes like this and he makes himself a little higher. Okay, the standard that God gives us is in Galatians, for example. The fruit of the Spirit, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, beginning with love and goes on and lists all of the characteristics that the Holy Spirit creates in our life. We can measure how we are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. How Christ-like are we? This process of spiritual maturity occurs gradually. It does not happen overnight. Now, Paul goes on in verse 16, which we'll look at next time, and explains that the body and parts of the body grow at different speeds. So some of us might grow spiritually faster than others. And so the question is, how do you grow spiritually and how soon can you come into this measure of the fullness of Christ? And Paul says it's based on our spiritual diet. Depends on what we eat spiritually. Paul many times uses the expression sound doctrine. Doctrine or teaching that has a foundation in the Word of God. That is, if we feed on it, it will create spiritual growth in our life that will be measurable, beginning with love. And that's what Paul talks about here in verse 15, so that our speech, it would be truthful and in love. You know, the Spirit of God not only produces his fruit in our life, but he also guards our life spiritually, as we saw last time in verse 14, so that we would not be immature. We would not be babies in Christ that are easily deceived by the tricksters that come into life and want to gamble with you, or want to present the truth to you, or a half-truth, or have methods that are reminiscent of Satan's methods. Paul says that the Holy Spirit of God, as you are grounded and as you grow and as you mature by sound doctrine, the Holy Spirit will guard you from these things. And you will act as an adult and you won't act as a little baby Christian. You'll be mature rather than immature. You'll be standing rather than falling all the time. And so, as a contrast or as a comparison to the children in verse 14, Paul says, don't be like children anymore, but instead, verse 16, speak the truth in love. What does it mean to speak the truth? Speaking the truth means ultimately our lifestyle, our walk in the Lord, which is supposed to be a proclamation of the gospel. What does it mean to speak love? Love is personified in Jesus Christ. It is what God did for us. And when our life summarizes that in our life, it is an example to the world. The actual word from Greek is translated not just our speech, but it includes everything we do, all of our actions in our life, including how we walk, how we talk, and how we act. And so one of the translators has translated that verse and says that it is our truthing out. It is the proofing. Just like you take gold and you melt it down or silver to get all of the impurities out of it. Our life is to be a truth presentation or a presentation of truth to the world. In the ancient world, when they went to the theater, the actors there would put on a mask. The mask of the person they were trying to personify. And they would act and try to portray a person that was not himself. What God is saying is, I want you to not wear a mask, but I want you to live the reality of the truth and the love of Jesus Christ in your life. Don't be fake, be real. The Spirit of God can produce that fruit in your life. And so that you would speak in love or act in love or truth would become manifest in our life. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus talks about us as Christians. He talks about the church being, remember, salt and light. Salt is used as a flavoring in food. I like salt in my food. I do not like food that has no flavor. I like flavorful food. Salt is used for flavor, but it is also used as a preservative, especially in the days before refrigeration. Meat would be encased in salt to preserve it from spoiling. Light that Jesus talks about. He says, you are the light of the world. What is the primary function and responsibility of light? Light is to light up the darkness through which we walk in our life. And the purpose of carrying a light or being a light is so that as we walk through life, we would not stumble and we would not fall and cause sin in our life or in other people's life. And so God has called us out of the kingdom of Satan's darkness and into his kingdom of light, so there would be salt and light in this world. So that our entire life would be a manifestation of God's truth through love. Now, sadly, love, it's got two ways of presentation. Or truth has two ways of being presented. You can present it with love and you can present it without love. And sadly speaking, this church at Ephesus, although Paul was the pastor there and Timothy was the pastor there and later John was the pastor there, by the time we get to Revelation, Jesus says, you have lost your love. And although your doctrine is right and although you're proclaiming the gospel right, but you're not doing it with love. And that's why the people aren't listening to you. And so Paul here, he's encouraging us so that our entire life, in our speech, in our presentation of the love of God to the world around us, as light, as salt, as love, as truth, it would all be united into this image, growing into Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, that we'll look at next time in more detail. May God bless his word. Amen.